They keep you informed on the Dodge County landscape. We keep the inside of your home looking great. Professional Floor Covering welcomes you to the next segment of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Welcome to Community Comment. I'm Jake Hayes, and I'm just about to throw it over to Kevin Haugen. But first, we want to talk about Professional Floor Covering and Abbey Design Center here in Beaver Dam. Randy and his team are here to help you design the perfect space. Over 1,000 samples of carpet, LVP, hardwood tile, area rugs, and window furnishings. It's so much more than floors. It's a wide selection of kitchen and bathroom countertops, cabinets, tile, shower inserts, and more. At the beginning of this week, we talked about the Pro Edge sharpening located inside Professional Floor Covering. That's right, folks. In case you missed it, they have a full-service blade sharpening shop. They sharpen all blades of all kinds. If it has an edge, they will sharpen it. Get those lawnmower blades in now. Saw blades, drill bits, hole saws, knives, scissors, chipper blades, ag blades, and almost anything with an edge. Call 920-887-8341. And now, without further ado, here is Kevin Haugen with Community Comment.
Well, thank you very much, and good afternoon. Welcome into today's Community Comment. I'm going to do something that I have not had to do yet, which is like multitask while I'm introducing our guest here, because I realized if people watching on the stream, they will see that there is a Thanks for Watching Hometown Today graphic up, which was our show previously. And I mistakenly did not close that out before I started the stream for Community Comments. So I got to hit that, and there we go. Now we should be back. We should be back on our stream here. So I apologize for those watching on Daily Dodge TV for that little hiccup in technology. But that's what we got to deal with here today on Community Comment. I'm your host, Kevin Haugen. It is my pleasure to finally welcome our guest into our Daily Dodge TV studio this morning. State Representative Mark Bourne. Mark, how are you doing this morning here?
Well, good morning. Good to be with you. I'm adjusting after 12-plus years of Community Comment to the morning Community Comment here now. You are, too, as you started out with good afternoon. And you've said that for years, right?
Yeah, I have still and will still likely make that mistake for many weeks.
For a while, yeah.
It's like I think I made this comment already, but I feel like it's when the calendar changes from one year to the next, you still want to write the previous year.
Write the previous year, sure.
You know, we don't write checks, I feel like, anymore, but whenever you got to write that down on a piece of paper, there's that mental hurdle of having to, all right, this is not 2024, we're in 2025. I got to get over that mental hurdle that we're not at 12:30 in the afternoon. We're at 10, which is still technically, would you call that morning? I'm still one. Okay, that's what
we're definitely here in the morning. But whether it's morning or afternoon, I'm happy to be here and have the opportunity, as we have for so many years now on Community Comment, to share with folks in the listening area what's going on in state government. Usually answer some questions, which is always great to have the opportunity to do that so folks can get their questions answered. So good to be here, and good morning.
Good morning. Thank you again. We want to thank our guest here on Community Comments, State Representative Mark Bourne. If you have a question for our guest, you can call in at 920-885-4446, or you can text your questions to 920-887-9595. Again, that phone number is 920-885-4446 if you have a question for our guest today here on Community Comments. And Mark, want to start things off here. Obviously, right now, in your capacity at the state capitol, really the majority of your focus here lately, just being a part of the powerful Joint Finance Committee, being co-chair of that committee, is working through the next biannual state budget that was introduced here this past February, was then handed over to the Joint Finance Committee to work through. And we talked, I believe, last time kind of what that process starting off would look like. But now, as we sit here in the middle of April, where is the budget process currently right now?
Yeah, still in the information gathering phase, but we are nearing the end of that. We've had two public hearings already as the Joint Finance Committee in Kaukauna and West Allis. Later this month, we will be up in Hayward and Wausau for two more public hearings. Legislative members, assembly members, senators have been having listening sessions throughout their districts. I had 10 throughout the 37th Assembly District. Really, all of them, all but one, was really well attended, I thought. You know, been doing these a long time and have spent a fair amount of time sitting in some rural libraries by myself or with one person, and didn't really see that this time. Folks came out, had questions, had things they wanted to talk about, so that was excellent. Having new area in the 37th Assembly District, as we talked about before, with my district shifting a lot north, don't represent nearly as much of Dodge County as I used to. Really northern Dodge and southern Fond du Lac County now, so got into new areas. Senator Jagler joined me in Waupun, which is a new area to us, and we had a really good turnout there. So it's been good. We have a couple of weeks left yet in this part of the process, but I'm ready to also move on and start crafting the budget. This part's been good. We've got a couple more weeks of it to finish up. I'm sure we'll finish strong with gathering the information we need to make a budget for all of Wisconsin. And then as we head into May, generally, we haven't set specific dates yet, but I would imagine in the first couple of weeks of May, we'll start taking some executive sessions with the committee to start making some changes to the budget and crafting the legislative budget. The governor put out a budget back in February, as you said, that kind of like he's always done, where it's just reckless. It's way too much spending, way too much tax increases, way too much policy, just growing government. So we'll do what we've always done and start over. And I know some people are like, well, why do you have to be so partisan? Why can't you work together more? And it's part of the process when we have a budget that's just so messy with all of this policy and all this growth, it's like it's not something that you can really build off of. But that doesn't mean that we don't work together in the end. At the end of the day, you know, to make a law, which is what the budget ultimately is, it's a big law. It's the biggest one that impacts all of Wisconsin, but it's still a bill that gets passed in both houses of the legislature. And then to become law has to be signed by the governor, right? Just to have a little review of our civics classes, because for some of us, it's been a long time.
Yes,
so
has.
We still have to work it out, right? Yeah. It still has to be, I mean, every budget that we have done under Governor Evers at the end of the day ends up being bipartisan because he's signed it. He has a powerful line on a veto. He makes some changes. And so that's the process that we are going to begin here in a couple of weeks working through of crafting a legislative document that we think in the legislature, which is the body that's supposed to make the laws, makes sense for all of Wisconsin. And we'll try to craft it in a way and work with the governor along the way, and that at the end of the day, he says, yep, I'm going to make some changes in my line of veto, but I can sign this and we can work with this. And so that's the ultimate goal. We'll spend at least the next couple of months and maybe more if we hit too many bumps in the road along the way, which is always possible. That wouldn't be the first time that happened, and it wouldn't be the last. But right now we're on schedule. We're wrapping up our information gathering phase, you could call it. And pretty soon we're going to start building a document that'll be a budget for Wisconsin.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but the target timeline for getting something eventually to the governor's hands and him going through it and then ultimately hopefully signing that budget would be July window of time frame. Is that kind of when the hope is at? Because that's when the fiscal year for the state ends.
Right. July 1st is when the new fiscal year starts. So that's the goal. But of course, this is maybe a good time to remember folks that unlike the federal government, the government in Wisconsin doesn't shut down if the budget's not done. It continues at current funding levels. Now that means that some things that were funded as a one-time experiment and things like that won't continue. So some things could, but the vast majority of normal things, you know, schools will still get funding. They'll get it at last year's levels. Most agencies stay open at normal last year's levels. So for the most part, people won't notice in their interactions with state government that there's any change. Unlike when the feds, I mean, they close parks and they close museums and some things don't happen. And so it's not, it's not a huge disruption if we don't make it by July 1. Since I've been in the legislature, we have generally made it by about then. Some years it's been the first or second week in July. Yeah. One time, though, it did go into October.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and that was my first budget on the committee, actually.
Yeah.
And other times in state history, before I was in the legislature, it's gone much further than that, end of the year, things like that. So right now on schedule, hope to stay on schedule. There's always things in every budget that challenge us, and this one won't be any different. And the goal right now is July 1.
We're with District 37 Representative Mark Bourne here on Community Comment this morning. We do have to take a short break. More Community Comment is coming up next.
Steel deals are happening now. From instant savings on select tools to free battery offers on some of our most popular battery tool sets, you can enjoy great deals and do it all with Steel. Shop online or in store at your local Steel dealer. Offer valid for a limited time only at participating dealers while supplies last.
Step into a world so fine, shiny floors that truly shine, tiles and wood you'll adore, get it all at Professional Floor. Showers, blinds, counters too, everything just like brand new. They've got what you're looking for, only here at Professional Floor.
Okay, full disclosure, we still don't sing here, but since I've got the mic, let me drop some knowledge. At Professional Floor Covering, we've got the best brands and styles for every project. Whether you're looking for cabinets, blinds, flooring, or more, we're here to make your home look amazing. Check out our showroom to explore our wide range of luxury vinyl plank flooring. Need a bathroom makeover? We've got custom marble and ceramic showers and countertops to elevate your space. And if you're thinking kitchen upgrade, our cabinet and porcelain tile selection is top notch. Take a look online at proflr.com and stop in to visit us at 713 Park Avenue. Time to hand the mic back.
Get a sneak peek at the 2025 Wisconsin football team. Join us April 19th for Wisconsin Football Spring Showcase presented by UW Credit Union. The day kicks off with the Kohl's Kids Combine, followed by Badgers open practice at noon, featuring new faces like quarterback Billy Edwards Jr. and offensive coordinator Jeff Grimes. After practice, head to the field for photos with Badgers student-athletes. Tickets are $5 and free for football season ticket holders, UW students, and kids under 12. Claim your tickets for the Wisconsin Football Spring Showcase at uwbadgers.com.
As clutch of a player to ever play basketball.
It's Dame time on season 4 of Behind the Bucks on Bucks Plus.
This year I was like, I need to impose myself more on this team.
Explore Damian Lillard's journey to becoming a top 75 player in NBA history.
That's what really had me feeling like this is going to be great.
Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and H&R benefits consultant. Find Bucks Plus on bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get podcasts.
Make Easter extra special with The Market, your hometown store, formerly Beaver Dam Food Pride. Sugardale ham portions are just 77 cents a pound with the Perks app and a $25 purchase. Grandpa's homemade holiday kielbasa is $2.99 a pound. And Granny's butter and egg rolls are just $2.99 a pack. Serve our family vegetables 5 for $4. Enjoy Marie Callender's pies at $5.99 and top it off with Cool Whip for just $1.99. This Easter, The Market of Beaver Dam brings flavor home.
These are the happenings in your community. Thank you for joining this edition of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
With more Community Comment, here is Kevin Haugen.
It is 10:20 on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Welcome back into our second segment of Community Comment this morning. Joining us on the program is District 37 Representative Mark Bourne. If you have a question for our guest here on Community Comment this morning, you can call into the show 920-885-4446 or text 920-887-9595 if you have a question for State Representative Mark Bourne. Here on Community Comment this morning. We spent most of our time here in our first segment going through where things are at with the budget here, with a lot of it, as Mark alluded to, is the information gathering stage. A lot of that is just holding meetings, getting word, hearing from the citizens, hearing from groups who are all impacted by this biannual budget that will be crafted over the next couple of weeks here. Mark, you mentioned that you've held around 10 listening sessions here within your 37th Assembly District, which Now includes more Fond du Lac County, so some new, maybe new input from people that you maybe mm-hmm. haven't heard before holding these listening sessions. But what is some of the takeaways that you've gotten from these sessions? What has stood out to you from holding these sessions here in the community? You mentioned pretty much mm-hmm. all of them were well attended, mm-hmm. Had good input. But what were some of the takeaways that you got from these meetings?
I think. Most of the themes have been consistent with what we also see at the statewide public hearing as far as the hottest ticket items, and I don't think there'll be any surprise to anyone. They're things I've talked about for years. They're the things we usually focus on, like education funding was talked about, right? Mm-hmm. Well, no surprise. It's the biggest part of our general fund-supported budget at the state level. It's usually the biggest increases in every budget, and you know I don't think that's a surprise to anyone. Roads is also another thing that I hear a lot of in this area still. And it's something we keep chipping away at. You know, we've done good with bridges. We've been getting more money into local roads, but it's still a challenge, right? Our weather is super tough yeah. on these roads, as everyone's probably noticing now that things have thawed and there's more potholes than there were before the winter came, right? It's naturally what happens.
Yep.
So those are, you know, the usual ones. I think the other thing is I appreciate it when I get a good variety of folks that show up to these. And that was one of the things that I was happy to see about Waupun is we got, you know, different age groups, different political interests or political parties, perhaps. Maybe they weren't identifying that way, but on the political spectrum.
Yeah.
And so you get a good taste of a variety of opinions. And in the way it started out in Waupun, the very first two people to speak, the first woman said, "The state has a surplus. I want you to spend it on education." Okay, that sounds good. Not surprising. The very next speaker was, "Wait a minute, the state has a surplus. To me, that means you took too much of my money. I want you to send some of it back. I want some of it in a tax cut." Mm-hmm. And I think that's great because it shows just the diversity of thought and also the challenge of this job. Like, I have constituents that have a wide range of opinions and a wide range of things that are important to them. And so then that's why the budget becomes, you know, months of work and the challenge to craft it for all of the state, because there are things maybe that majorities agree on, and those are the things that rise to the top, like more road funding and more education funding. But also tax policy is an important part. And so you have to have a mix. And so I just appreciated the way that session started in Waupun to say, yes, this is my district
yeah,
right here.
Yeah.
You know, in the first two comments, there was a wide range of thought there, and then it continued from there. And so that's why it's sometimes a difficult job, but it's also why it's important that we gather this information and we spend the time talking to constituents, to folks statewide, to interest groups too. They play an important role. I mean, they do a lot of work. You know, we've got, for example, in this area, the Horicon Marsh, you know, an incredible natural resource. And there's a lot of passionate groups, hunting groups, hiking groups, just the Friends of the Marsh, that care a lot about that one in particular, but then also protecting the state's natural resources overall. And they, you know, in some cases, those groups hire experts, biologists and things that we can learn from. And we don't have to pay for all that on our own. So we can gather information and learn from them. And so, and that's just one example. There's, you know, child welfare groups and elderly groups. And there's lots of groups that have associations and lobbyists and things that bring us ideas and show us, hey, here's something that they do to help kids in other states. And the data shows in these 10 other states that it works. Will you try it? Well, maybe. Let's learn more about it, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, a legislator or just, you know, somebody sitting at home looking for something to do can't necessarily gather all that information. But these groups that have national associations and can bring together folks to talk about, hey, this worked really well in Iowa. Do you think we could try it in Wisconsin? Maybe. Let's learn more about it.
Yeah. This is a topic that has come up in the past. It's coming up again here with a program that's coming to a close, the Child Care Counts program. Mm-hmm. Has child care been something that support has been something that
yep.
have you heard about? I know that the governor has included about $480 million in his executive budget to go towards that Child Care Counts program. We've had meetings here in Beaver Dam with local groups saying how you know what will happen if that program comes to an end. As we sit here in April, what are your thoughts when it comes to supporting that important part of our state here in Wisconsin?
Heard about it at a couple of the listening sessions, mostly from business owners and a few parents. One of the sessions also the chamber was active in. I think that most likely you'll see the legislature take an approach to it similar to what we did last time, where we'll put a package together that will focus on things like cost, access, quality. We haven't finalized that package yet. We're not at that point. That'll happen probably next month or maybe even the following month. We're going to have to invest in childcare. It's important. It's a priority. We spend hundreds of millions of dollars in this sector already. I'm sure we'll spend more. I think it's unlikely that it'll be the Child Care Counts program because, of course, that's a federal program funded entirely by ARPA money that is phasing out. And, I mean, we've talked about tons of these programs in the last 5 years. You know, the federal government just dropped obscene amounts of money into states, of course, because they can print money. They can run giant deficits. As a state, we can't print money. We can't run giant deficits. We have to have a balanced budget. So we can't backfill every massive, you know, ARPA program. But like other sectors that have been impacted by inflation and the high cost of labor, another example might be like nursing homes and long-term care. We've invested a lot in the last couple of budgets trying to help them, and they were having some similar workforce challenges to childcare. And so I think that's probably the next one that's kind of rising in that way. And so we're certainly going to have to look at ways to invest more there.
Yeah, maybe an interesting side note to this is we just had the Dodge County Board Chairman on not too long ago. He mentioned a housing project that's happening here in Dodge mm-hmm. County, I believe in Lowell, where there's a housing project going on there where they're embedding childcare into that mm-hmm. project and providing low operating costs to the business. And maybe that's an option that, you know, instead of relying a lot on funds that are around to be able to support these important services. Those options can maybe help offset those costs and keep this sure. important service available for parents and of kids who have to go out and have jobs and make sure somebody's watching their kids while they're out from home.
Yeah, some of it's a workforce issue too. Is trying to keep people, you know, being able to stay in the workforce and not have to make that decision that it's cheaper to stay home with the kids because childcare is so expensive. But that's a good example. That's just south of my area, so I'm familiar with the project, but not overly familiar with it. It's either in Lowell or Reeseville. But that's another example of where you've got private sector and some county government and collaboration. And so there are ways to do these things too. I think you're seeing more schools get involved in it as well.
Seeing that here in Beaver Dam with the transition of, I believe, Wilson Elementary into a child care facility.
And as I toured, I meet with every school superintendent that serves the 37th Assembly District during the budget process. And so I did all that in the last like 6 weeks as well. And almost every school district in the area has some sort of child care component now. Some of them have it right in their schools. Some of them are moving in the direction like Beaver Dam is with it's an old school, but a separate facility from where their schools will be in the future. Some of them are running them themselves with their own school district staff. Some of them are working like Beaver Dam is and collaborating with a child care provider to run it. And that's what you're seeing in Mayville as well. They've collaborated with a local child care provider, but run it in one of their buildings. So there are a lot of innovative things going on. The state is certainly not going to be like the solution in it by itself to the child care challenges, but we can and should be a partner in it.
We're with District 37 Representative Mark Bourne here on Community Comment. We do have to take another break. More Community Comment is coming up next.
Since 1998, the Good Karma Brand's John Moser Children's Radiothon has distributed nearly $3 million to nonprofit organizations serving children in Dodge County and the surrounding areas, and you can help make a difference. Help support the cause by donating an item to our 27-hour on-air live auction, hosting a fundraising event, or making a monetary donation through Venmo. To learn more, visit dailydodge.com/radiothon.
Do you know that Kladowski Real Estate offers no-charge buyer consultations? What that entails: a relaxed meeting to discuss your must-haves, what to look for when touring a home, the aspects of an offer, budgeting for purchase costs, and financing options. We'll chat about home inspections, radon testing, and warranties. When making the biggest purchase of your life, make Kladowski Real Estate your trusted real estate advisor. Call and schedule your no-charge buyer consultation at 920-219-9212.
Hey, it's Stacy from Slumberland, Beaver Dam in Watertown. Stay tuned to my friends here at 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, live from the Slumberland Furniture Studio.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Federal judges in two separate courts in Washington are holding hearings today at the same time on potential violations of their orders by the Trump administration. Judge McFadden, the Trump appointee, hears arguments over the alleged ignoring of his order to restore White House access to the Associated Press. Judge Jackson, an Obama appointee, has a hearing on the potential violation of her order on the firing of more than 1,400 employees of the Federal Consumer Protection Board. Reacting to Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen's meeting with the man who was mistakenly sent to that notorious prison in El Salvador, the wife of Kilmar Abrego Garcia in Maryland.
The most important thing for me, my children, his mom, his brother, his sibling, was to see him alive, and we saw him alive.
Jennifer Vasquez tells ABC News her husband is not a member of MS-13, the drug gang. Wall Street markets closed for Good Friday. This is ABC News.
Award-winning news you can count on. WBEV.
The man accused of kidnapping a pregnant teen from Beaver Dam made his initial appearance in a Dodge County courtroom yesterday. Gary Day of Arkansas is facing multiple felonies, including abduction of a child and child enticement. Dodge County Judge Stephen Symes set cash bond at $2 million and called Day a, quote, extreme flight risk. A preliminary hearing has been scheduled for April 24th. A Wisconsin lawmaker has introduced legislation to help get important funding for local organizations. Representative Andrew Heisel says due to what he calls a chaotic scenario playing out in Washington, D.C., funds that have been appropriated through the constitutional process are being frozen. The Frozen Federal Funds Emergency Act would help authorize the legislature to use the state's rainy day fund to help fill in those gaps. Heisel says he hopes that the hearing on the bill will be called in the legislature, but he is not optimistic one will be. Progress continues to be made on the project to construct a new station for the Watertown Fire Department. Crews have begun installing elevator equipment, made upgrades to the training room, and put in a new stainless steel railing for the patio. The new station will be located at 621 Bernard Street. The fire department is planning to host an open house on June 8th. Department officials say they will share more details about the event in the coming weeks. The Horicon School District will be welcoming a new face to the superintendent role this summer. Katie Schwartz was tapped to succeed Rich Apple, who's retiring after 9 years in Horicon. Schwartz says that her and Apple's vision for the district aligned, and she could see herself in that position for a long time. District officials say Schwartz will begin as superintendent on July 1st. And finally, SSM Health Waupun Memorial Hospital is hosting a community blood drive next week. Hospital officials say appointments are preferred. The drive is from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on April 23rd in the Marsh Conference Room. A link to schedule an appointment is available at dailydodge.com. I'm Justin Wilski reporting from the Daily Dodge News Center. Submit your news tips at dailydodge.com.
Thunderstorms likely today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Highs level off around 66. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies tonight, chance of rain showers. Lows dip down to about 40. Daytime highs approaching 53. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Right now, 56.
Hey, it's me, Yaliva. You know, the organ that helps you recover every weekend after pizza, donuts, and all those drinks. When you have a headache, you take an aspirin. You have a stomach ache, you pop an antacid. But where's the love for your best buddy, the liver? The least that you could do to help me stay healthy is take Active Liver from New Nordic. Active Liver tablets contain high-quality, all-natural ingredients like milk thistle, globe artichoke, and turmeric extracts, which are proven to keep me healthy and you feeling your best. Active Liver provides an easy daily detox and helps protect me all year long. So let me make you an offer you can't refuse. You take care of me with Active Liver, and I keep taking care of you. Capiche?
See for yourself why Active Liver is Scandinavia's number one liver health supplement. You can find Active Liver at CVS and online at Amazon or directly from NewNordicUSA.com. Again, find it in stores at CVS or online at Amazon or NewNordicUSA.com.
One call, that's all. It's not just a slogan, but a way of life at Gruber Law Offices. If you've been injured, call our team today. We've represented tens of thousands of injured Wisconsinites for well over 30 years. Trust Wisconsin's own Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Summer just got a whole lot hotter with the WBEV 95K giveaway presented by Newman Pools and Hometown Glass and Improvement. Join us all summer long at any Brat Fry location from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and try to crack the code on our prize vault for your shot at winning $95,000. No purchase necessary, must be 18 or older to enter. One winner per household, one entry per person per stop. For complete rules and details and to find a complete Brat Fry schedule, visit daily.com.
Let's hear from the Hoekstra crew as they are getting ready to open Monday, April 21st.
Our staff is very knowledgeable and willing to help with all your flower and gardening needs. Our hours for April are Monday through Friday, 9 to 6, Saturday, 9 to 5.
Come to Hoekstra's Market and Greenhouse.
Wheel of Meat!
Every Monday morning at 7:40, listen for your chance to spin the Leroy Meats Wheel of Meat. It's full of specialty meat items. The Leroy Meats Wheel of Meat, Monday mornings at 95.3 WBEV.
Providing this community beautiful floors and so much more, the team at Professional Floor Covering can't wait to connect with our friends through today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
It's 95.3 WBEV. I'm Jake Hayes, and I wanted to remind you that Community Comment is brought to you in part by McKinstry's Home Furnishings. Area rugs at McKinstry's Home Furnishings are currently under sale. You can find McKinstry's Home Furnishings under the red awning in downtown Beaver Dam right now. They have a super spectacular area rug clearance event. More than 70 different area rugs in stock and on sale, with savings of up to 75%. Choose from brand names like Capel, Surya, Kaz, Daylin. From casual to formal, traditional, transitional, or contemporary, no matter what your decorating style, McKinstry's has an area rug to match and sale prices you'll love. Hurry into McKinstry's Home Furnishings downtown Beaver Dam, where customers matter and quality counts for 166 years. Visit McKinstry'sHomeFurnishings.com. Now, without further ado, here is Kevin Haugen with more Community Comment.
Thank you, Jake. Apologize for that. I'm hitting every button that I shouldn't be hitting, and turned the camera off. I turned our mics off, and I was trying to hit to clear the graphic we have during our break, and I was not hitting that button. So I'm having some technical issues this morning here as I try to figure it out. But appreciate you sticking with us here on Community Comment this morning. Our guest is District 37 Representative Mark Bourne here on Community Comment this morning. If you have a question for our guest, you can call into the show at 920-885-4446, or you can text 920-887-9595. Again, if you have a question for our guest here on Community Comments, State Representative Mark Bourne. And Representative, want to kick things off with a new bill that was just recently circulated here not too long ago that ties directly here into the city of Beaver Dam. Obviously, we've heard the news of the data center that's being built here, data center that's being built not too far from the city here. But I feel like I will butcher the explanation because it's kind of technical yes. when it comes to what this does and how it works. So I will let you do the more technical explanation here, what this bill does and how it helps the city of here, Beaver Dam.
Sure. Yeah. So as you said, there's been some coverage now of and some construction started. A lot of earth moving going on out there in north side of Beaver Dam. As it technically is in the city of Beaver Dam now. The city did an exit late last year, created a TIF district there, developer's agreement with the company that's building the data center. And because it's in a TIF district, there are laws that limit municipal TIF districts. Tax incremental financing is what that is. And it's really a local tool for development, but there are some state restrictions on it. And one of those restrictions is that you can't have TIF districts that are worth more than 12% of the value of your city, of your entire city. You know, the idea was we don't want to have the entire thing, your entire city value tied up in TIF districts and not having your tax base supporting other things. So while it's an important economic development tool, they shouldn't get too big necessarily. What wasn't thought about was what if you have just an enormous project that is bigger than anyone had ever imagined? And that's what these data centers are. They're so huge. The one down in southeastern Wisconsin right now, this is the second one that's happening in the state. There are several other places that are currently in negotiations, I guess you could say, that are hoping to bring them there. Look like they're probably going to get some of those other data centers in other parts of the state. And so the city, some city officials approached me to say, hey, you know, this thing, you know, is going to be way more than 12% of the value of the city if it builds to its full potential. And that means then the city can't have other TIF districts until this one ends. They can't have like the residential one they have going on right now in Orlingo Road, or they can't have the industrial one that's growing, you know, and it's almost full actually because it's growing so well with the new I just forgot the name of the battery company that Generac. Yep. Thank you. You know, the new Generac building, you know, that's a very successful TIF district again. The city's been very successful. You know, we've got a really good economic development court here in Beaver Dam. Trent Campbell's the leader, does a good job. The city over the years, really, city councils over the years have been, you could even maybe say aggressive in that type of growth, at least strong leaders in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't want to see the city because we have this great development going, have to stop other types of development. And so the bill we've introduced, I could have just focused it on the city of Beaver Dam, but I saw that these data centers are coming other places and they're going to need the same kind of help. So we've introduced a bill to exempt data centers that are in TIF districts from that 12% value limit. So it's a big deal, I think, for the future of development in Beaver Dam, but for the average taxpayer, it doesn't really mean much. It doesn't mean, you know, it's a detailed thing on how TIF and financing for development works and things. But in the long term, for the growth of Beaver Dam, you know, we've had successful TIFs. Eventually, those TIF districts come back into the regular tax roll and bring that money in that can be invested throughout those taxing jurisdictions. So the school district is part of that, you know, the city, the county, the tech college, all ultimately reap the values of this growth. And so it's exciting to see Beaver Dam's, you know, growth opportunities, both with this massive project, but with also, you know, continuing those future developments. And so I'm hopeful. I don't know what the opposition will be to this. I'm not expecting a huge opposition, but you never know. Like, no bill's an easy bill. But we just circulated yesterday for co-sponsorship. I've got some, you know, some other senators and assembly members on board already. We're hopeful to move it quickly so that it's clear to both Beaver Dam and the other cities that bring in these type of developments that they don't have to stop their other work in economic development. And we'll see how it goes. Hopefully, you know, when I'm on next month, I'll have an update that it's either just been passed in the assembly or it's on the track to be passed in June. I think those are my goals because we want to make sure that the city knows what the rules are when it comes to this. And the other thing is if we don't get this done, that they might have to do is speculative TIFs where they're before they reach the value on the ones they have now, just create some other ones kind of randomly. And that's not the way TIF districts are supposed to work. It's supposed to be more of you have developer agreements, you have plans, you have real goals and opportunities, and not just kind of willy-nilly picking areas and hoping that they turn into something. That's a way to probably end up with more negative or more expensive results. That's not how the city of Beaver Dam has done it in the past. I don't think it's how most communities do it, but I'm certainly familiar with the city. you know, spending time on the council myself years ago and things of how they've done it. They've done it very successfully, and I'm hoping we can tweak this law so that they can continue to do it in the way they've done it.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, just a recap here on the process. The bill will hopefully pass the assembly. Then does it go to the Senate and then through the Senate and then onto the governor's desk for a signature? Is that how that process
works? Yeah, Senator Jagler's working with me on this bill, and so he's fully supportive. He plans to shepherd it through the Senate just as I shepherded it through the assembly. It could pass either place first. It just kind of depends on. Right now, we just circulated it to see if there's other people that want to sign on and support. Then the bill will be officially introduced before the end of the month, most likely. And then it'll get assigned to a committee where we'll have a hearing. We'll see if there's any issues with it there. If there are, we'll talk about how we can amend it to make it work. Then it'll go to both the Senate and the Assembly for consideration. And like I said, I'm hopeful to move on it quickly. It's not a complex bill. It's like a half a page of language. It's not something that's going to be hard for people that work in this to understand. Legislators will understand it easily. So hopefully we can move it along quickly and get it to the governor's desk. And assuming we don't have, I'm assuming it'll be bipartisan. I don't know any reason it wouldn't be at this point. And so I'm hopeful that the governor would support it as well. We'll work with the League of Municipalities and stuff too to talk to the governor's people. Because I can't imagine why they wouldn't be supportive of it. We did send them a draft of the bill yesterday. So, you know, I think we're in a good spot to hopefully allow communities like Beaver Dam to continue to do economic development like they always have.
We're talking with Assembly District 37 Representative Mark Bourne here on Community Comment. We do have to take another break. More Community Comment is coming up next.
Do you want a new rug? One that looks really good? One that matches your home's decor, like an area rug should.
Do you want a new rug? Then get to McKinstry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam right now during our super spectacular area rug clearance event. Hi, this is Sandy. We have more than 70 different area rugs in stock and on sale with savings of up to 75%. Choose from brand names like Capo, Syria, Cass, and Daylin. From casual to formal, traditional, transitional, or contemporary. No matter what your decorating style, we have an area rug to match and sale prices you'll love. Hurry into McKinstry's Home Furnishings, downtown Beaver Dam, where customers matter and quality counts for 167 years.
McKinstry's Home Furnishings, year after year.
McKinstry's.
This message is sponsored by WISCaregiver.com. Now is the time to start a meaningful career as a caregiver. Make a real difference in people's lives. WISCaregiver.com gives you two great options for free. Train for the in-demand caregiver workforce as a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional, or become a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. All training is free. Plus, you can earn a $500 bonus. Learn more. Visit WISCaregiver.com.
Could there be a better name? Auto Value Parts Stores. They aren't just about air fresheners or fuzzy dice. Auto Value Parts Stores are all about parts, auto parts, and advice. Pros who know auto parts with tons of tips when you need them the most. You want real value? Don't go to a place with a cute name. Go to Auto Value. Could there be a better name? I didn't think so. Your Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
Great news for homeowners with electric or hot water heating systems. Don't suffer through another year of heat and humidity with noisy, clumsy window air conditioners or no air conditioning at all. A Carrier Electric mini split system does not need ductwork for installation. Instead, it consists of an outdoor compressor with indoor head units to cool various rooms or areas within your home. An added bonus is the system is also a heat pump with the ability to warm your space when it's not quite cold enough to turn on your heating system. The Carrier Mini Split is energy efficient, quiet, and can be installed in a day or two with the team at AirCare. Call Chad to help you make the right decision for your home and connect you with financing, tax credits, and rebates available through Focus on Energy. AirCare has been serving the area for over 40 years and is committed to your comfort. To learn more about the Mini Split system and other services offered by AirCare, visit their website at aircareinc.com or call 920-356-8860-CARRIER. Turn to the experts.
They keep you informed on the Dodge County landscape. We keep the inside of your home looking great. Professional Floor Covering welcomes you to the next segment of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Back with the last segment for Community Comment. Here's Kevin Haugen.
Thank you very much, and welcome back into today's Community Comment. Again, I just realized I made another mistake. Throughout that entire break, I had our Starting Soon graphic button pushed instead of We'll Be Right Back. So if you were, again, watching on the Daily Dodge TV stream, you're probably wondering why Community Comment was saying just Starting Soon instead of We'll Be Right Back. So again, I cannot seem to do anything right here when it comes to producing the show. That's why Jake is here also helping out, so I appreciate him making sure that...
You're going to have to get you some remedial training
It's a Friday. That's my excuse. Today's a Friday, so I'm just going to go with that. But we're with State Representative Mark Bourne here on Community Comment. This is your last chance. If you have a question for our guest here today, to call in at 920-885-4446 to ask a question of State Representative Mark Bourne here on Community Comment. But with our final segment, want to take some time just highlighting some other news on the legislative floor. But first, want to kick things off making sure we get to really sort of the breaking news of the morning here. Mm-hmm. It comes with a recent decision by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Essentially, they had upheld a veto that the governor included as part of the 2023-2025 budget that provided Wisconsin school districts with continued additive per pupil revenue adjustments of $325 every year through 2024-25. In a statement, the governor said, doing what's best for our kids is what's best for our state, and I will never stop fighting to do more of our kids and our schools. We're with a very appropriate guest here because somebody who's very tied into a lot of these decisions and something that we're following closely as the Supreme Court debated this and as they came out with their decision, Mark. As I saw you this morning, you were answering a lot of texts and responding to a lot of people, had gotten phone calls throughout our show today. But just what is your reaction to this decision from the state Supreme Court?
Yeah, not surprised because this has been a very far left activist court and we expect that to continue. But it's still disappointing because there's really two major problems with it. You know, this type of expansion of the power of the executive, the expansion to the power of the line of veto, is not good for the state long term. It's not the way our government's supposed to work. It's supposed to be a balance of power between the three branches of government. The legislature is the one that's supposed to be in their portion of that balance of power, the one that's making the laws of the state. And when you can take a line and a veto and change the law so significantly that it changes how the state spends money for 400 years, that's really the second problem, is that on its face, it should have just been ridiculous. The idea that we have a law now on the books because of the governor's line and a veto that sets spending policy on one part of government for 400 years should just make anyone pause and be like, what? That's just ridiculous. I mean, think about it. What will schools look like in 400 years? What will schools look like in 100 years? Is this level or type of funding anything that may be appropriate? It might be too much. It might be too little. It might be... We might not even have brick and mortar schools. I mean, go 100 years back. What did schools look like? You know, most schools 100 years ago were still one room schoolhouses. So the fact that you use the governor's line of veto power to make law that lasts for 400 years and make spending that lasts for 400 years is just reckless and foolish. And so in any direction, the court should have found a way to say, wait a minute, this is too much. Too much power in one person and just ridiculous on its face. But instead, liberal activist court basically legislating from the bench, and this is what we've got.
So I want to get your other quick thought here on another statement that the governor made. He mentioned that he exercised the same line item veto authority that has been used by decades worth of Wisconsin governors, including his predecessors, a line item veto that the Wisconsin Supreme Court, at a time when it was under Republican control, declined to review. Was that something that when they were in control of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, was that something that you feel like that should have been taken up and reviewed and decided on if there needs to be adjustments to that?
I'm not aware of another lawsuit that they declined to review, but I am aware of other governors doing some similar things. There's a 1,000-year veto that I'm aware of. I didn't know that was legally challenged. It should have been, I think. I think it was a mistake that it wasn't. I'm not familiar with other courts passing on that. If they have, again, I think that was a mistake, because I think that the separation of powers and the equal branches of government should be more clear. And this governor has already the most powerful line item veto in the country. No other governor has a line item veto this powerful. And today's ruling makes it more powerful. And there are other cases pending yet. And if the court continues to go in this direction on these line item veto cases, that they're only going to keep making it more powerful. And at some point, we get to the point where we're back to a king. And that wasn't what this country or this state was founded upon. And I think it's a real concern.
We're with State Representative Mark Bourne here on Community Comment. We just have a couple of more minutes left on our program this morning. Excuse me, want to take that time and give the representative opportunity just to provide a brief preview of upcoming legislative floor days and just what's on the horizon here in the state capitol.
Yeah, we're going to be in session next week, Tuesday, and that focus that day is going to be on welfare, accountability, and especially workforce. Focusing on things that bring accountability to those programs, fight fraud, try to make sure that we're getting folks into the workforce, getting people off the couch, whatever the case might be. You know, the welfare programs are something that's been heavily debated for years. And because Governor Evers, just doesn't support reasonable things like getting people back to work, drug testing in these programs, things like that. And that's been unfortunate, but we're going to keep focusing on it because we know it's the right thing. And that doesn't mean that there aren't a need for welfare programs or that we're trying to get rid of them. That's not the case at all. There's certainly a need for them sometimes to help people get back on their feet, but they're supposed to do just that. They're supposed to be a helping hand, not a hammock. And that's the focus, and that's what we'll be talking about a lot next Tuesday on the assembly floor.
I want to thank again our guest here on Community Comment today for giving up an hour of his Friday to chat with us here this morning on our program. Assembly District 37, Representative Mark Bourne. Representative, thank you again so much for taking the time here with us on Community Comment.
Thanks for having me.
And that will do it for today's Community Comment.